Hey, how y'all doing? Back into the episode of It Factor Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jeremy Robinson. And today we have someone special. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey everybody, my name is Bettina Rogers, mental health nurse practitioner. Happy to be here.
Indeed. Look, you better get your name right now. You can't.
I know. My mind don't stop running. It goes like a million miles per hour nonstop. This is the first time today I'm actually really sitting down.
Oh man. Well, look, I'm glad to have you here. So with that, I say, how are you doing mentally, physically, and emotionally?
Oh gosh, that's a good question for me. Mentally, I'm doing okay. I try to practice self-care daily. I do try to journal, read scriptures, because as a mental health provider, we so used to taking everybody else's stuff in that sometimes we forget to fill in our own cups. So mentally, I'm actually doing okay. Physically, I'm all right. I have some nerve pain. I don't know if my carpal tunnel returned or not. But for the most part, I feel like I'm in a good spot at this moment, at this time right now.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad you're doing good. So, what did I say? What led you to want to work in the medical and mental health field?
I would say years ago, I would say maybe when I was 20. Five, I got to work in the inpatient psychiatric unit after I did the hospital for about a couple of years. And I just had a love for being able to communicate and talk because I think communication is so important. And a lot of us don't know how to effectively communicate. And so, once you learn how to effective communicate, you can regulate your emotions more. And so I stayed in mental health for about 15 years and then went on to get my nurse practitioner degree in mental health. And I just been here for about now 6 years. So I just love it. It's like I really found what I like to do. I really found my passion.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I would say, what have been some good moments, working in your field?
The best moments are when you see the patient on day one and they're just mentally just drained, crying, tearful, just really had a hard time. And then when they come back about 3 or 4 months and their life situation has changed, they're in therapy, they started medications, and you're like, oh my gosh, if I only could show you the picture when I first saw you, when we first had our appointment to this moment, so you can see the drastic change. And what it looks like to really focus on your mental health while you're attending therapy and and doing the work for yourself mentally, you can see the outcome. So I guess to answer your question is seeing the outcome, is seeing where the patient began and watching their journey progress as they learn to regulate their emotions, as they learn to be okay with taking meds, okay with going to therapy and just really tuning into self. That's priceless.
Like that. So what I would say, what is your it factor? Why do you do what you do?
I do what I do because for me personally, mental health was always a struggle. I struggled with my own moods growing up. I personally didn't know how to regulate my moods when I was like 15, 25. I used to snap. I'm not gonna lie, I snapped. I had a nasty attitude. I didn't know that to regulate my mood. I didn't start, being more cognitive or more aware of my mood in my 40s. So that's kind of what, really made me more heightened. And that's kind of what led me, in addition to experience with dealing with people in my family that have mental issues, patients over my career who have mental issues. So that kind of triggered me. And since then, it has grown into this huge niche for me. And it grew into a place of this is my calling.
Got you, got you. And I feel like you do go through a lot. I feel like you see a lot in people, especially I would say with me podcasting, being an engineer, being a husband. I think that it took me a while to kind of realize like how I was reacting to things versus how I really am. And especially I think growing up being an athlete for so long and doing stuff, I had a place to pit that anger. But
Yeah.
once you get with someone or you start being around people, you start realizing, hey man, when you do this, man, you change. Yeah, I think that the biggest thing I think I had to learn for myself at with only 29 years old and still
Yeah.
learn is that
Yeah.
it's okay, to reflect and see where you are because you never want to treat people wrong. You don't want to be treating yourself wrong because we ain't no crazy, mean people, man.
Oh.
That's really not how you should be operating.
No.
I commend you
Yeah.
for what you do. I commend
I
you.
appreciate it, and I appreciate what you do. I think self-awareness and just checking ourselves, because we quick to sometimes blame it. Oh, no, nah, he acting like this or she acting like that. I'm like, wait a minute. Well, how am I acting, Bettina? So sometimes I had to look at myself, and
Yeah.
I think that's what therapy is good for. It's like, it's not a bad mirror, like mirror, mirror on the wall, but it's just a good mirror to say, hey, how am I thinking? Is my thought process reasonable? And it just helps you kind of look at yourself. So that's why therapy is priceless.
You're definitely right about that. So I'll say, how do you balance? Or I'm learning to say manage being a mother, being in your career and traveling like you travel and do the different things, the amazing things you're able to do. How do you manage or balance that?
Oh Lord. I always start off with self-care because I can't fill up nobody's cup. I can't even fill up my kids' cup unless mommy's taken care of. So that's why the traveling is super important to me. I have family. I have a really good support system. My ex-husband is great with our kids, and he solely takes care of them. If I feel the need to go out the country, I'm like, look, hey, you got to get the kids for me. So, I have that support system from him. And then just prioritizing. So for me, my work schedule is flexible, so it allows me to do that. I work from home, and I work typically 3 days, 3 to 4 days a week between my own private practice and another position I have. So I always have 3 or 4 days where I can just plan what I want to plan, do what I want to do. And I always try to keep that open, because once you are so used to seeing patients every day and you're taking their mental health in, you're taking on somebody's burden. I got to find some way to get that burden off of me. And so that's where the traveling comes in. So a lot of people are like, oh, you travel, you travel. I literally have to, because if I sit up and I listen to you all day, if I'm listening to people crying, depressed, sad, you are internalizing that. So I had to find a way to have it refresh and have it internalized and get it externalized and get it out. And traveling is a way that I do that.
Got you. So, who are you outside of all the things that you're known for?
Oh, that's a good question. I consider myself being a self-care queen. I'm totally a person that's for self-care. I would just look at you and say self-care, 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 because I neglected myself for so long. Because I always was in a relationship, and I always catered to the person I was with. So actually being single gave me the insight to really just focus on self and get out there and tap into all my talents. So now I'm to this point where I think I'm a self-care queen, and I really put a holistic approach first. I believe in practicing my Christianity. I believe in biblical principles. I believe in working out, eating healthy. I think I've put such an emphasis on looking at everything as a whole, holistic in my life, that it's made a huge difference from where I've been years ago. I hope that makes sense.
I like that. I think that, yeah, I feel like that's the way you should approach life. I feel like it's kind of hard for certain people, but
It's
definitely you will
hard.
get there. I feel like it is. So I
It's
say
hard.
like an open topic then. So what is success to you? Like, what's success to you?
So, success to me is being at a place where you finally are happy internally and not just externally. It's not about, I did a post on this. It's not about like the money or the cars, the houses. I mean, it's nice, but it's equally nice that you have learned, for me, not anybody else, that I have learned to regulate my emotions, that I've learned to be a successful partner or a successful spouse in understanding how to have a healthy relationship. It's like so many people go into relationships and they don't even know how to relate. And then the relationship fails. You have to put so much work in for yourself. So for me, successful is being able to share it with somebody and have a healthy relationship with others, and really listen and be in tune with others and in tune with myself while I'm living a holistic life, with doing everything I can to have a mental stable life. That's success. Success to me is being mentally stable.
I like that. Hey, that's true. That is a great form of success right there. What is something you would like to see change in the Black community?
Oh man. I think it's in the Black community, I think really taking mental health seriously. I think for years there's been a stigma in the Black community, and we can't fault each other. It goes back to being discriminated against in the medical field. So that's why some people probably don't reach out to medical, professionals. But I want to see more Blacks being more aware of their mood and taking responsibility and looking at their lives and seeing, is it me that this the issue? Is it my moods is why I can't keep a stable relationship? Or, and do I need to get, therapy? I would like the Black community to be more mentally aware. Because if you're more mentally aware, I think you can do better. Your occupational will be a little bit more stable. You can hold a job down, you can hold relationships down. So that's what I think I would like for more the Black community to kind of focus in on that mental health. More so Black men. Black women are much better with the whole self-care. The Black women seems like they're in a movement. They're more in tune. There's still a lot of Black men, I never want to go to therapy. It's like,
They
stop.
have no outlet. They have no
Nothing. And
outlet.
the outlet comes internally, and then you start suffering from diabetes or hypertension instead of saying, sitting on the couch and talking to somebody, talking to that shrink. White people going to shrinks for years. We didn't even know what a shrink was. They was laying on couch for years. We're just a lot of Black in the community is just start getting aware of it. And with the trauma that Blacks encounter day in, day out with discrimination and job discrimination, the glass ceiling effect. It's important you have somebody to talk to about that, So,
You're definitely right. I mean, I had a therapist for a year, I think, going into the pandemic, and it was some of the most amazing times of my life, man. It takes
I
on
know.
me monthly, and I think back to being a teenager, being in a single parent home, and a lot of things I went through, I feel like could have been deterred if I went to go get therapy. And I had been asked as a teenager, "Hey, you want to go?" And I'm like, "No, I don't need that. I don't." But looking back, I sat there and literally told her, like, she's like, "You know what? You got your head on straight." Like, it was great to hear from someone that didn't know me, that didn't know anything about me, but wanted me to be as successful as I could be. And it made me just a better person and to lock in on my emotions. And I see so many of my friends and people that I meet, and I just be like, "Bro, you lost, man." And I think I do it from a loving place, And I may not say it all the time. I may just, they got to figure it out. I try to have a conversation with them, it's, go try it, man.
I'm glad you got that taste of therapy. So now you know if you're ever getting a jam or need somebody to talk to, the best thing I tell people that don't have a history or knowledge of therapy is it's the best place to go for non-biased, non-judgmental care. And then we have this law called HIPAA, so your business can't get told, let alone to anybody you would know. So I would love for nobody not to know my business sometimes when I'm going through stuff. So I think therapy is awesome. It's nice to talk to Auntie Annie up the street or cousin Moo Moo or whatever. But at least with a therapist, your business is not gonna get in the whole family.
Right. You're definitely right about that. So I say, when it's all said and done, what is something you would love to be remembered for?
I actually want to be remembered for being an advocate for mental health. Being a strong advocate for mental health, living a Christian life and just doing right by people and serving people. Just nurses, we just used to serving. So I guess I would just want to be known for my service.
Definitely. And I love to give back, man. I think that that's the reason why we're here. I feel like we're here to, give. We're here to do that thing you love to do. I have heard it multiple times, but we're really here to help other people. And I think that the quicker you learn that, the better your life will be.
The more you give, the more you give, the more you give, it's more rewarding. And I think that's what I really like. I like the rewards from it and the feel good. Like, oh my gosh, I feel so good. Just making you feel better from talking to you or giving you some advice or resources. It's just a good feeling. You get really, you really get, I really get a lot of gratitude from it, and I'm sure you do too.
Same, man. I ain't talking to people. I had people break down. I had people, and I was sitting there like, "Hey, I'm here," And I think that I started to realize that it's not about me. At first, the podcast and reaching out to people about me, and yeah, I'm gonna get this person on, I'm gonna do this, and then you do. You just like, okay, so what else am I doing from this? And to see the smile on y'all face, man, it means a lot to me. And just even just staying in contact with people, people are like, "Man, I used to stay in contact with all these people." And I'm like, it's my journey, man. It's what I'm supposed to do. It's a part of my calling. So I say,
Yeah.
I'm able to do God's work through it. So thankful for that.
Absolutely. I think you hit it on the nail, especially it's doing God's work. It's so interesting that you said that. I had the opportunity about almost 2 weeks ago to go to a rural area in Mississippi and do a talk on mental health, and it was so rewarding. I mean, it was such a need. I mean, it was just the little town was thirsty. And I was just like, oh my gosh, it's such a need. So sometimes what might be so easy for us is not easy to other people. So it was so nice being in that space where I can talk to the women of the congregation and tell them some resources or tell them some signs and symptoms of depression and just have that open dialogue. It was so rewarding. And I said, darn, this felt almost as good as sitting on the beach with a pina colada. I mean, it just felt so good to be able
Natural.
to, yeah, it felt natural, whatever it takes, the talent. Education, like, oh my gosh, God, this is what it's about. This is why you allow me to pass that test and get through the schooling, you know. So I totally agree. It's a great ministry when you find your calling, no doubt.
And before we do close, that's crazy. I had a preacher on last week when we was doing the interview, and he was like, you ever know, you know when you're doing something that's given to you by God versus something you think that is for you, because it will come to you natural. If you gotta just tuck and drive, it's always hard, and you gotta, no matter what it is, he's like, no matter what it is, it could be life, it could be friends, it could be family, it could be your wife. He was like, if it's that hard, he's like, nah, that's not for you, man. And I was like, well, I like that. And so I
I
realized
like
that everything that came to me naturally, I knocked it out
that.
of the park.
Yeah.
So definitely.
Yeah. I like that.
You
He
like that?
right.
Yeah,
He
he right.
right.
He
It
right.
should nothing should be it shouldn't be hard. You know, when something's for you, everything just the doors just open, open, open. When something's not for you, you just meet this resistance. But when it's for you, it flows. That preacher's right. I gotta watch that. I gotta watch that episode.
I say before we do close out, do you have any questions for me?
Yeah. How long have you been doing this? I know this is your passion calling. What is your goal? What is your vision for your podcast? Once I saw your site and I saw everything, I just loved what you was doing from day one. I just loved it. And so I'm happy that I'm a part of it. But what are your visions and your goals?
So I started back in 2019. I will say I started it because long back when I was in college, studying computer science, computer engineering, I'm from a small town in Fort Valley, Georgia. And
Okay.
I come to college, I'm like, yeah, let's see, I'm gonna get into engineering because you're gonna make some money. And that's
Yes.
cool and all dandy, but once you get in those classes are hard. So I saw myself, falling into my faith and, praying to God. And I literally one day in my prayer, I was like, God, if you get me through this class, this is just one class that I was struggling with, I'm gonna do something to get back. And that's all I said. I said, okay, cool. And you get through the class, like I tell it every time. I get through the class and I'm like, I graduate college, all these things, and I'm forgetting about it. I'm like, I'm not.
Yeah.
And I think it just kept coming back. I was at work, you're making the money, it kept coming back. Like, hey, you gotta give back, you gotta do this. And I'm like, how do I do it? And
How
literally
can
talking
I?
to my best
Yeah.
friends, and my best friend's a videographer. And we were sitting there, and he's like, bro, you always meet people. You're an athlete, you know a lot of people, like interview people, man. And at first it started with people in tech. And I was like, I was talking to my mom, my family, and it was like, boy, you know more people than just people in tech. Like, interview everybody. Where it is now, I can't even believe it. I done wrote a book, my second book, The Art of Networking, because so many people started coming to me and like, how did you interview this person? Or how did you do this? Or how did, and what they don't know is it takes time. Like you said, it took a year or so. I'm not worried about the time. I'm just glad I'm able to do it because I feel
Yeah.
like I said, it come naturally, man. It's a
It
thing
does.
I love to do, and I love to see how people change the narrative. So I just want to
Yeah.
see, I want to bring on as many people as I can in different professions so that little person, that young person can see like what was going through, I was going through, trying to look and see who this engineer is, see how I can do this. And they can look on this page and say, oh, hold on, she work in mental health, she do this. Oh, okay, I can do that. Okay, I can get through this. And I think
Just
that's what it's for.
inspiration.
And I
Yeah.
think they know that's what it's for. I used to think I wanted to do this and they got to be this big, and it's like, hey, I go with the flow, man. Like, how it's gonna go is gonna go, and I'm thankful for what I'm doing. Very appreciative of it. So,
Amen. Well said. I appreciate you.
hey, thank you.
Awesome.
And that's
Awesome.
it.
Awesome. All right. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
No problem. Look, I look forward to
Okay.
staying in touch with you. If you need anything, let me know. And I'm gonna cut up a snippet tonight. So I'll let you.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. I appreciate you.
All right. No problem.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye.